could be any other place, but God in His grace and His sovereignty, had us being right here under this anointing, under this mantle, under this apostle, to receive the word of His grace. I mean, that's awesome. You know, we're talking groundbreaking revelation that we're receiving, you know, and it's just, you know, God is just good. We serve an awesome God. Praise God. Let me try to get my composure together, and we got a few minutes. We'll cover some things. You know, I've been kind of in a straight betwixt two, whether to continue teaching church in the New Testament or to kind of teach on grace, you know. But my assignment hasn't changed. So I said, well, Lord, what I'm going to do, I'm going to teach the church in the New Testament, but I'm going to teach it from a grace perspective. You know, so we're going to continue teaching it, but it's going to be with a grace perspective. Amen. Amen. Let me find where I need to be. Well, I'll just go to the book. Praise God. I bought the book here. Glory to God. We're going to start on chapter 16, and we're going to cover a few things. I know our time won't be as much, but chapter 16, it talks about the office of the elder. And we're going to be talking about the office of an elder, the office of a deacon. And we're going to be looking at scriptures that focus in on the, what an elder is, what a deacon is. But just kind of starting the introduction here, the office and the ministry of an elder. In our previous chapter, we dealt with the church government, especially as it is seen in the local church under God's ordained scripturally qualified eldership. The government is indeed upon his shoulders. We know that's based upon Isaiah 9 and 6. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, Christ being the head. And then the shoulders, as I mentioned before, carries that head. But the shoulders are up close to the head. And that's where the fivefold ministry gifts lies. And it says, but we see also that Christ has set in the church government. Okay. Corinthians 12 and 28. Let's go there right quick. Let's see if I have. I can get there. Here. That's 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, it says, starting at verse 27, it says, now we are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. Now, God appoints these offices, but one thing we got to recognize is because of his grace, you know, because God loves us so much, God's desire is for us to walk in the fullness of the revelation of his word. Walk in the fullness of the revelation of everything that he's provided for us. And by doing so, you know, the Bible says here, it says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Okay, I'm reading from the New King James Version. And God has appointed these in the church. As we know, first apostles, secondly prophets, teachers, and after that, miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administration, varieties and tongues. Says all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, as all these are questions, are all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but earnestly desire the best gift. And the best gift is the gift that's needed at that time. God has equipped the body of Christ with government. And the purpose of government is to establish God's order, to establish God's kingdom. You know, God's desire is for his kingdom to be established here upon the earth. And by doing so, he sets up these offices. We're going to be talking a little bit about the office, like I said, of an elder. Talk a little bit about how eldership and bishops according to scriptures are basically very similar. And so we're going to be looking at some of these things here. One of the things I want to point out is that there is one body and there is one spirit, even as we are calling to one hope of our calling. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. God is a God of oneness. You know, what I mean by oneness, you think about oneness, you think about completeness, you think about wholeness. You know, God desires for us to walk as one in the Spirit. When you think about the ministry gifts, each gift is designed and supposed to complement one another. There should never ever be a competitiveness in ministry, or between the ministry gifts, or between the office, or between elders and deacons. Coming up in the Baptist church, I could always remember there was always friction, where one person wanted to do it this way, whereas another person wanted to do it that way, and somebody had a different idea. And the Bible said that God is not the author of confusion. God's desire for us to walk in oneness, in wholeness, in singleness of mind. And the ministry gifts are here to complement and to admonish each gift. One of the things being in prison ministry that I enjoy so much is when I see young men and women who go out and minister, how each particular person complements one another. Give you an example. You know, I may get up and open up a service at any given facility we might be at, and I might start talking about righteousness, you know, and I just kind of say, you know, maybe make mention a few scriptures on it, and then I'll say, does anybody else, you know, have anything they want to share, or if God put something on your heart? Then another one of the prison ministers will come up, and they'll just follow in that same vein, and the thing, it grows. So if one person shares a scripture, another person may piggyback off of that scripture and just begin to expound on it. And then there are some people who have gifts where they're just bona fide preachers. They can take every scripture in the Bible and preach Christ and preach salvation because they have that preaching anointing. Other people have a teaching anointing where they can take a scripture and expound on it and dissect it and tear it apart and look at it from different perspectives. You know, that's a teaching anointing. And it's a blessing to me when I see people develop and begin to walk in maturity in those gifts. And they begin to flow in those gifts according to God's perfect will. And that's why I say the ministry gifts are designed to complement one another. Whenever you see a tug of war between ministries or ministry gifts or ministry graces in the body of Christ, that's not God. You know, God's grace is designed for us to. One thing I tell people is that there's enough work in the kingdom of God or in establishing God's kingdom for everybody. You know, there's room at the cross, and there's room in ministry. You know, and when we all work together as one man, there's nothing that we cannot accomplish or do, because you know, Bible says, well, two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. When you gather together two or three in his name, in oneness, in singleness of heart, you know, there's all kinds of scriptures in the New Testament that talked about how they were in one accord, in one place. They were making one sound, and it's as a symphony. When you think about a symphony, you think about different instruments, okay, an oboe, a violin, a tuba, a cello, you know, percussions, the kettle drums, and all that have in a symphony. But when they all are playing the same note, playing according on the same chord, I'm not a musician by no means. But people who have had, you know, instrumental training know when you first start out. Now this is the key here. When you know, I think maybe in the fourth, fifth grade, I don't know when they start off band, but everybody just playing kind of loosely, wildly, and you know it's just a menagerie of sounds. But as each person learns how to play their note, those cards, they start you off with cards. You play this card, and everybody plays the same card, play it in the same key. And all of a sudden, now you begin to hear melodies, and you begin to hear a sound that's sounding the same. It's different instruments, but the same sound. You know, I'll never forget this one movie, and one of the things the guy said in the movie, one band, one sound. You know, in the body of Christ, you know, is one message that we're preaching, this gospel of grace. And we all may have our own unique ways of delivering this message, but it's the same message, you know, and it's not a competing message. We're not to compete. You know, the spirit of competitiveness is a demonic spirit that likes to creep up and cause competition. One of the things, you know, I always say, Lord, I don't, you know, when God begins to bless you and you begin to grow in the grace of God, and God begins to use you, then you the more God uses you, the more you recognize it is not me. You know, when I get up and I pray, we didn't do it today, but one of the things I say, Lord, if you don't show up, I know I'm going to fall flat on my face, because I cannot do this in my own strength and in my own ability. I have no idea what each and every individual in this room or in a prison ministry setting needs, but Lord, you know, my eyes are on you. I'm asking you to lead me and guide me in the directions that you want me to go. You know, sure, I may have something in my heart I want to say, but is that what you want me to say? You know, one of the things I remember one minister would always say, Lord, I want to be as a barefooted priest. And in ministry, that's so, when I say barefooted priest, I mean, when the priest would go into the temple, his shoes were off, and he had bells on his clothes and a rope around him. And as he moved, every step was precisely calculated, because he had certain utensils and certain things that he's doing inside the temple, you know, and you got to make sure that, you know, that you're clean, that you've been, you know, you prayed up, and every step has to be a precise step. You know, Lord, I want to hear your voice. One of the things I've learned about grace, because in condemnation, you're always wondering whether or not I'm good enough, whether or not I'm prayed up enough, whether or not I know enough scriptures, or Lord, am I worthy enough to be in a particular position or to do whatever, you know. But with grace, you begin to, God brings us into his grace so that we can be totally and completely dependent upon him. You know, unmerited favor. As I said in our last class session several weeks ago, God's willingness to use his power and his ability on your behalf, even though you didn't earn it or deserve it. So when you're walking in that grace, you know, like I said, walking as a barefooted priest, it makes you hearing from him that much more important, because, you know, you want your steps to be ordered by him. You want everything you say, everything you do, to be orchestrated by God. Because guess what happens? When that happens, then people are blessed. You know, a lot of times I may say something or share something with somebody, you know, or with a group of people. And after the service or the message, someone will come up to me and say, you know, we had that very discussion about just what you were sharing. Say, there's no way you could have known what we were talking about, and in your message, you answered every question that we had in our discussion about something. You know, I'm just using an example, and I said, well, that's, you know, that's just God, you know, and that's when you know, well, Lord, I'm listening, and I just want to, you know, it's not about me, it's not about eloquence, you know, it's not about homiletics, you know, all these things they teach you in seminary. You know, pronunciation and you know, one of the things I know Dr. Thomas, you say, bringing the train in, you know, your train is loaded, bring it into the station, you know, where you're really getting going, and you get, and then people get all emotional, you know, But in the midst of that, are they getting the word? Are they getting delivered? Are they getting set free? You know, a lot of times it's just the subtleness of the Spirit of God. When someone is ministering under the grace and the unction of God, well, God's anointing is just trickling down into that atmosphere. And people are getting liberated. They're getting set free by the power and the anointing of God. And that's what, you know, that's what the ministry gifts are designed to do, is to build up, is to edify, is to bring the body of Christ into what God has always designed for the body of Christ to do. Matter of fact, when Dr. Thompson was talking earlier today, he was talking about the book, The Highway of Grace. And I got so excited, I just went ahead on and bought the book while he was ministering. You know, I mean, I was following along with, why? Simply because, you know, you always want to be on the cutting edge. And when good information is being passed out, you say, Lord, I want this. So when I go home tonight, I'm gonna turn it on and listen to it before I go to sleep, because I know it's some good material. Amen. Okay, this is something else I want you to know. The gift that Christ gives unto men, that gift should complement the gifts. You know, I'm talking about the ministry gifts. The gifts that Christ gives unto, Bible says he gave gifts unto men, those gifts are to complement one another, not contradict one another. You know, not, like I said, not be in competition. The gifts, God, Bible says, and he gave gifts unto men. Those gifts are to complement one another. You know, before we get into this, I just wanted to kind of set some precedents. You know, God's gifts are to complement, not to contradict one another. Not to be in a competitiveness with one another, but to be in a rhythmically flow where each and every person is flowing and operating in the blessing and in a free flow of God. Amen. Okay. One of the things the author talks about in chapter 16, he says there are two offices set by God in the church for the rule and the service of his people. Okay, and he's talking about the office of an elder and a deacon. Elders, and I like to use the word elders in reference to something that was recently set up here at Word of Life Christian Center. We have 12 master vision bearers, and also in LTMA, there's 12 master, there are 12 master vision bearers, and then in the church, there are 12 master life bearers, who God has appointed to help the apostle to train, to oversee, to make sure that the organization or the church is functioning and that people's needs are being met, and to help do the work of the ministry. One of the things about ministry is God will set a set man in place. And he'll give the anointing and the message to that set man. But that set man, you know, Moses is a good example of a set man. God sovereignly chooses whomever he desires. And he puts that person and he places that mantle on him, or that anointing on him, for a service to set his people free, to lead them out of either bondage or captivity, or to lead them into the message of grace, so that they can walk. You know, nothing should ever be a struggle with grace. Everything should be a free flow. You know, every step we make in Christ should begin with us resting in what God, through Jesus Christ, has already done. You know, and so as we learn how to rest in him, you know, everything God has done for us has already been done. All we got to do is just receive it. You know, believe and receive. The apostle's 11-year-old son, he said, you know, believe and receive. You know, that's you know, all we got to do is believe it in our hearts and receive it, because it's already ours. You know, but we're so used to of having obtained things through the sweat of our brow, through working, through obtaining, you know, through going through maneuvers and praying long and hard, fasting for 21 days, you know, consecrating ourselves. And those things are good in itself, but all they're doing is making us more sensitive to God. You know, all prayer and fasting, it keeps you in a position where you can hear from God. But because we are the righteousness of God, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So because we are the righteousness of God, we're led by the Spirit of God. And we should expect to always hear God's voice. And a lot of times it's just a matter of being still and knowing that God is there. Being still and knowing that God is there. Amen. What I wanted to say about the office, and I was talking about master life bearers and master vision bearers and things that the apostle has set up to help him fulfill his assignment. An elder or someone who's placed in a position of leadership, they're there for rule, to help organize and help mobilize the saints, and to make sure that people's needs are being met and that people are getting it. You know, I'm a type of minister. I like more one-on-one. I'm not a big crowd speaker, you know, but you get me a group of people. A lot of times after we finish prison ministry, we'll go out and we'll grab a bite to eat. And I can just go on for hours and I can just share things out of my heart, you know, because it's, for me, that's a relaxed setting. And you know, it just works for me. Certain things work for people. Or, you know, sometimes me and somebody may be doing something and the Lord will begin to pour things that he's placed in me out. And a person's degree of how much they're receiving will depend on how much is going to be poured out. That's why you hear the expression a lot of times, you know, you want to keep your expectation level high. When your expectation level is high, God is able to pour more into you because you're making a demand on the anointing. You know, you're making a demand on what God may have poured into somebody, and that's what is in the individual is being poured out into you. Amen. But elders work more with ministry. And deacons work more in the area of service, where they, you know, you remember the apostle said, you know, it is not reason for us to leave the word of God and to serve tables, but they appointed deacons who were there to do ministry from a more physical, more labor-intense type of thing, to make sure that you know, certain things were the accommodations were right, and to make sure that you know, whatever disagreements or whatever things that were going on among the people were settled. Whereas elders deal more with sometimes spiritual matters, more minister or hands-on type of ministry, to make sure that people are receiving properly, and they're more from a spiritual aspect than a physical or, you know, I don't want to use the word material, but more of a from a physical or you know, a working standpoint. Okay, amen. Let's move on. Elders, shepherds, and bishops. All three of those words can be used interchangeably. They refer to ministry of watching over, guiding, feeding. That's the word I wanted to use. The Bible talks about feeding the flock of God, feeding the church of God. I think that's Acts 20 and something, 20. Feeding the flock of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. You know, the word elder, the word shepherd, and bishop could technically be used interchangeably. And it says that their ministry is to watch over, to guide, to feed, to rule, to teach, and to exert protective care. Now that's a good I like the way the author uses that word, protective care, over the sheep of God. And they are God's, they've been appointed by God to do so, by God's delegated authority. And that's so very important. The word protective care, you know, elders, you know, they'll go to the hospital and they'll pray and they'll pump the word into people. They'll encourage. They'll rebuke and they'll exalt. And they'll, you know, what I want to use is kind of like they'll help build up. You know, a lot of times the individual may be down and people are coming and says, look, can you share, can you pray with me? This is what I'm going through. And we'll, you know, say, Lord, you know, what can I say? And the Lord just sometimes scripture may pop up and then you just begin to flow with it. But that's what, you know, elders do. Amen. They're there, like I said, to feed, to guide, to teach, to instruct, and protective care. Because one of the things, you know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, the Bible says that, you know, Paul says that after my departure, grievous wolves will come in and they'll try to spoil or try to make havoc of the flock of God. And it's so very important that those people who are placed in leadership roles know how to spot a charlatan, know how to spot a wolf or who might be dressed up in sheep's clothing, you know, because their job is to come into spoil the flock, you know. So it's very important that when you're in that position, you know, one thing that I'm always watching and praying. I tell people, if you see me looking around, it's not so much I'm looking at you. I'm just looking to make sure that everything is flowing the way it's supposed to flow. You know, just the way I am. I just, because my heart's desire is to see God's people and God's will be done on the earth. And to see God's people get fulfilled to all the fullness of God. And this was something I was thinking about today when I was kind of meditating on the class. Like I said, God has a set man. We know that Apostle Thompson is a set man, an apostle, you know, who has a governing territorial anointing. We learned that from last semester. And as you submit to that anointing and to that apostolic ministry, well then, sometimes all you got to do is say the same thing that you hear the apostle say. You know, I'm give you an illustration. Several years ago, a friend, a church member of mine was going through some financial crisis. And we were having, back then we had circles and well, actually cells. And he was in my cell and he was saying, look, I'm looking for certain things to happen, you know, to help me financially and a settlement here or whatever. But anyway, one day I went to the bank and I saw him and he was in his car, and I might have shared this before, but when he saw me, he looked at me and says, Brother Greg, it didn't come through. He says, I don't know what I'm going to do. And every fiber in me wanted to go. I mean, I was right at the ATM and get him a couple of $100. He says, here, I hope this helps you. And I wanted to be a blessing in that regard. But I remember something, but I said, no, first let me communicate with my apostle first, you know, with my pastor, and see before I do this. And when I called him, he said, Greg, he says, don't do anything unless the Spirit of God is directly telling you to do this, you know, because if not, then you're taking God's place, you know, and if you take God's place, the individual will never learn how to stand and how to believe God as being their source. And so I searched my heart, and God wasn't telling me to do anything, so I didn't. I just prayed and believed. That's me. That's my phone. That's probably telling me I have 5 minutes left. If you can reach down there, Freddie, and just, it's in that bag. It's in that little sleeve. I left it back in there. But anyway, so I didn't do anything, but I just shared the word with him. And God began to miraculously do things in his life, you know, to where, you know, his status began to grow and grow. And he came to me and he says, I really appreciate what you shared with me. And I know what you wanted to do, but what you did was the more needful thing for me at that time. Now I know how to stand on my own 2 feet. You know, a similar situation happened to me this past summer with another individual who was in a financial situation. And I shared with him immediately. And this is only what I heard the apostles say, you know. I told him, I said, you know, believe God, continue to sow into their anointing. I said, every chance you get, every dollar, every penny, whatever, just sow into the anointing and believe God for a return. And I watched him over the months and over the weeks. So, and every time I said, well, praise God. I thank God, Lord. I'm just thinking that, you know, that he's understanding the principle of seed time and harvest. And all of a sudden, his financial status began to change. He told me a couple of weeks ago, he says, Brother Cameron, I want to have you over, you and your wife. He said, you so blessed me with what you shared. He said, we were living in our car, and now we just bought a home, and God's blessing us, and I'm talking, this wasn't a year, this was months, and that shows me, the importance of following anointing and allowing that anointing that you see on a man to God can use you to speak the same thing. One of the things I've learned, and I'm getting ready to shut it down because I know my time's winding. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. If the anointing of God is flowing in a particular direction under your man of God, you follow in that same vein. Don't try to come up with nothing original, because as you submit to the anointing, and you speak and say what that anointing is saying and flow with that anointing, well then, that anointing, what does the anointing do? It removes burden and it destroys yoke, and that's something I learned. A lot of times when I first started out in prison ministry, whatever was preached from the pulpit on Sunday is what I preached that Sunday evening or that Tuesday inside the prison, sometimes word for word. But at the same time, I've watched my apostle come back from a Kenneth Hagin camp meeting and preach the same message that his spiritual father preached, almost word for word. And the same results that the prophet got when my pastor came home and preached it here in Darrow, the same results was manifested. So, I see the progression and how things are done, and you just follow. But see, that's oneness. Remember we talked about oneness? That's being one, staying in a flow and staying in a vein. Amen? All right, I think my time is probably about done. So, we just wanted to kind of introduce. I knew I wasn't going to have a lot of time. But anyway, go ahead and continue reading in chapter 16. We're going to talk more on the subject of elders and apostles. Elders and deacons. And then we're going to get into the fivefold ministry gifts. Amen? Praise God. You guys be blessed, and we'll see you guys next week. Someone had a question? Well, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, next week, our classes are going to be in the sanctuary, from the apostle himself. Online students, make sure by all means. First of all, I just want to challenge the online students, to, by every means you can, try to get here to Darrow. I think it's the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, something like that, those dates. Is it the 4th? 4th through the 7th. Amen. Okay. The 4th through the 7th. 4 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, right? Amen. Okay. Because it's one thing to see it online, but it's another thing to experience it in person. I'll never forget this one lady last year. I made a challenge from the school of ministry. Said, me and my son, we saved, we believed God, and we got down to Darrow for a prosperity revival last November before last. And she said, it was everything you said and more, and I'm so glad I made the trip down. So I just want to challenge online students, make the sacrifice. Believe me, your trip will definitely not be in vain. Praise God. I can guarantee you that. Amen? All right. Be blessed. Yes. That's a good question. Yeah. We may have class that much. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. They'll probably send out an email stating whether or not, we'll have the Monday class in addition to the 4 days of the ministers' conference. Because, it does start on Tuesday. You're right about that. I'm glad you mentioned that. So, it may very well be that we'll meet
Monday, and then we'll go into the ministers' conference. So kind of stay tuned, and I'm sure an email will come out. Matter of fact, I'll make mention of it so that they'll send out that information. Amen? Thank you. All right.